to current issues. We're coming to you live from the Republic Broadcasting Network. Our phone number is 1-877-488-5350. Alex, did you have any questions for Layla, who's going through this ordeal with the government? Is Alex still with us?
I am. I'm still here.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't hear you.
Yeah, I'm still here. Yeah, I hope everything comes fine for her. But anything, the people in the Middle East didn't have problems with Jews throughout history for thousands of years. They tolerated them. They didn't have any problems with them at all. You're aware of that, right? Because you're a Palestinian. You should know that the Jews in Palestine didn't have any problems with the Middle Easterners at all. No problems with the people in the Middle East didn't have any problems with Jews at all. You're hearing me, right?
Yeah, I hear you. No, I had asked you if you have any questions for Layla.
Yeah, I said I hope everything comes good for her. I hope. Oh, yeah.
Thank you, Adam.
Thank you, yeah. I just called in for that because I don't think it's the Jews at all. I think it's the Zionist ideology. Because we have to call the Zionists, founder Zionism were non-religious Jews. They weren't Jews at all by religion. They were atheist Jews. They were Jews by ethnicity.
But Alex, you know, they ended up hijacking the whole Jewish religion, and unfortunately most Jews went with it. You know, that's the problem with this
Jews
whole
in Tunisia,
thing.
Morocco, Tunisia, Morocco, so Jews there and haven't went to Israel at all.
Many of them actually went there. Anyway, I appreciate the call, Alex.
Iran, and
that's true. All right, thanks, maybe. Alex. We're going to have to move on.
I'm sorry.
No, that's good. Thank you. So, Layla, let's get back to your... I'm sorry?
Let me tell you one of the reasons we also lost the trial, why my son got convicted.
Okay.
It's because they got biased material. They allowed biased material into court that had nothing to do with my son. Like a guy named Evan Coleman, who said that Muslims tend to think in a certain way, and in the future they would eventually commit some kind of act of terrorism. Okay?
Well, who's this guy? Who's this guy?
This guy, supposing he's an expert, between two quotes, on Muslim people, like, and on terrorists and whatever, and how Muslim people think that somehow, sometime in the future, at
what
some
was his credentials?
Time, huh?
What were his credentials?
From Google. He researched
No.
Google.
I mean, his credentials, were they, I mean, was he a doctor? Was he a psychiatrist?
No, nothing really. That's what I said, like a so-called expert.
Is they brought this guy to tell the jury how Muslims are and what they can think and what they can do in the future?
Yeah, because, like, they painted this picture of my son. They wanted to paint this picture of my son that he is an extremist. So, to like, they made this theory, and then they want to follow that with evidence. So the evidence was, bring this guy named Evan Coleman and say that extremists or some Muslims think in a specific way, and somehow, in an unspecified time in the future, they're going to commit some kind of act of terrorism. Okay,
you did not tell me who is he?
They just call him.
What kind of an expert is he?
On Muslim people, terrorists.
Okay, I don't know anyone who is an expert on Muslim people. What's his name?
Evan Coleman, E V A N. I think it's K H O L.
Well, Coleman is a C.
M A N N.
Coleman is with a C.
No, this one was with
a K.
A. Uh-huh.
Okay, K what?
I think it's K H O L E M A N N.
All right, let's see what I come up with. Evan Coleman?
Mhm. And he was used also in
he's an American. Okay. So he is an American terrorism consultant who has worked for the FBI and other governmental organizations.
Yeah.
Okay, so now we know who Evan Coleman is. So they brought this guy who's supposedly an expert. But this guy was born in 1979. This guy is a young guy, huh?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, he's like 32 years old?
He's very young, and he's
so he
really,
was like in his
20s
when he did – he was like 20-something?
Most of what he said didn't even make sense, like, and that, of course, intimidated the jury. Also, they brought in videotapes of people like beheading or like hurting other people, like they're supposedly Muslim people, like they had the black cover on their face and on their head, and they're all dressed in black, and they're like stabbing and I think beheading other people or something like that. Also, that was used in court, you know, to intimidate the jury. That had nothing to do with my son. None of that material had anything to do with my son.
I understand. Okay. So what else did they introduce besides this guy?
Well, Daniel Boyd, okay, the one they call the ringleader, okay, had some guns, and all of them supposedly were legal. They were licensed. So they brought that in court and held each one in front of the jury, okay, which
so
that had nothing also to do with my son.
What's the relationship between your son and Boyd?
Like I said, he barely knew him, but just because he knew him for a very short while. He was kind of friends with his son who died in a car accident, but he never went with him shooting or anything like that, and he never used any of these guns. But, I mean, just, again, to scare the jury and intimidate them.
Okay, what was the relationship between your son and him?
Daniel Boyd? That's what I said. He barely knew him.
I don't know what barely knew him means. We're trying to, for the audience, for people listening to us, when you say he barely knew him, that means, you know, you didn't say he did not know him. You said he barely knew him, so there was a relationship there.
Yeah, because we're Muslims, we go to an Islamic center.
Is this guy a Muslim too? Okay, so there's this, I'm assuming he's like a white American?
Yes, he's a white American Muslim.
So this white American Muslim cowboy, I guess, who has a bunch of guns? Okay.
Yeah, he had a bunch of guns because he used to go practice shooting with his kids. But my son never ever went with him to practice any of the shootings and never ever touched any of his guns. But yet they still took these guns and, you know, introduced them in court in front of the jury.
Mm.
And this guy, he took the plea deal because they threatened him, they harassed him, they put him in very, very harsh conditions. Okay, so he took the plea deal and he testified against the others. When he was cross-examined, he said there was no conspiracy going on between him and my son.
Okay, so what kind of deal did he, what did they give him? How many years did he get?
He got 18, but his two sons were also, you know, arrested with him.
Uh-huh.
I think one got 6 years and the other got 7 years, and now they're in low security, and they will be out in like 2 to 4 years, something like that.
Okay, so this guy, they called him the ringleader?
Yes.
What did he say? I mean, I'm sure when he pled guilty and made a deal with the prosecutor and your son, who's not the ringleader, got 31 years, so this guy apparently told him something. What did this guy say?
Honestly, like when he testified against my son, there was really nothing for him really to say against my son. But like I said, like the prosecutors, what they did is they just kept on mentioning my son's name over and over and over again, saying United States versus Yagi, the United States versus Yagi, and the material that they brought in court that, you know, that will harm my son, that had nothing to do with my son. That's the things that made the jury convict my son.
Okay, Layla.
Uh-huh.
So there were seven people involved in this thing. Uh-huh. They called it a ring, and there was a ringleader. Were they charged with? Now the only ones who actually went overseas is your son and Omar Hassan.
Yeah, and then there was another guy who went to his own country. He's from Kosovo. But we don't know anything about the guy. Like, we didn't know him, and my son didn't even know him. He went to Kosovo, and they sent an FBI there, an informant. They sent an informant over there
to seduce him. Was this guy convicted too?
Yeah, he got convicted. To seduce him to come back to the United States, because he was married, and he wanted just to stay with his wife. He didn't want to come back to the United States. So they sent him an informant to seduce him to come back. No, they didn't extradite him. They sent him an informant to convince him to come back to the United States and that he'll get a free, he'll get a job and he'll get a free apartment and such and such.
Oh, I got you. So they told him he will work with the government and the witness protection program, etc.
No. The informant is the one who was working with the government. But the guy from Kosovo, his name is Haysen Sharifi, he just wanted to stay with his wife because she was pregnant.
I understand that, but they promised him if he comes back and
that the informant did, not to work with the government, just to work, you know, he would find him a good job, and he paid for his apartment. He said, look, I paid for your apartment, just come back, and such and such and such. Like, he just enticed him a lot to come back to the United States, but not like,
I see.
To come back.
Okay, I
so
got
So they
you.
Can arrest him, like, so they can say there was a conspiracy going on.
Okay, so how many years did this guy get?
45 years.
This guy got 45 years?
Uh-huh.
Okay. Now, I know, Layla, that deep down inside, you probably know something. I'm not assuming anything, and I'm not insinuating that you know something, but you're not telling us.
Anyone
listening to us tonight is going to be shocked that these people are getting 30 years and 45 years. Now, what did this guy get 45 years for?
He had more charges on him than my son.
Were these charges bogus, too, or were they...
I assume they were. If they were against my son, bogus, I think. I mean, I stopped believing anything now the government says after what happened to my son.
Any of the people who were convicted, including this Boyd guy...
Mm-hmm.
Do you know that they were guilty of something?
No, but I know that Boyd was outspoken, and he spoke against the wars in Afghanistan and Iraq, and that's why they disliked him, because he's an American, white, Muslim, and he can draw a big crowd of people. So they did not like him speaking against the wars in Afghanistan and in Iraq.
Layla, there is something more to this, because I am a Muslim. And I have been for the last 10 years speaking against not just the war, but against everything in the United States. And so far, I'm still here.
Oh, I'm glad you are. I don't know, honestly, what they had against the guy. They had informants on him, and they had him on tape recordings. When they presented, I think there were like 700 hours of tape recordings. When they were presented at court, we could barely hear what he was saying in them. So what the prosecutors did, they handed the jury transcripts that were filled in by the prosecutors saying this is what he said. So in other words, he could be saying something about pizza or something about going outdoors or something, but the prosecutors will fit it in and say that he was saying something else. But I could not hear most of the stuff that was on the tape recording. They were very, very unclear, and there was a clock ticking most of the time, and the voices were very faint, so we can barely hear what he was saying.
Okay. Now, you said you had an appointed attorney. Was that the same attorney from beginning till end?
No, right now, till end, till the...
No, from the beginning when he was arrested until he was sentenced, you had the same appointed attorney?
Two different appointed attorneys. One, his name was McCullough. He ran for appellate judge, and he won. And he just dropped my son's case, and he recommended, I think... the other attorney, which his name is Ayers. And then right now we're doing an appeal, and we have a paid lawyer, a private lawyer for my son, but he's asking for so much money, and we're accepting donations. And
let me ask you this. Why did you try to get a private attorney before the sentencing?
I can't afford one.
Did you go to any? I understand. Did you try to go into the like the Islamic associations or the Islamic groups, the Muslim groups, Christian churches, any of, you know, the Catholic Church? Did you go to and say, look, I need help here?
I called many, many, many different organizations, whether they're Muslims or Americans, like CARE and MLFA, and you name it, and everybody denied us. They said this is a criminal matter, and they don't deal with stuff like that. And I told them, how is it a criminal matter if my son did not commit any crime? My son did not do anything illegal. He did not do anything against the law. He did not harm anybody. So I don't understand, how is it classified as a criminal matter? And then,
so now you are appealing the decision. You do have a private attorney.
Yeah.
And if someone wants to help you, how do they get hold of you?
I have a video on YouTube, many, many videos, but the recent one, the most recent one, is called Please Help Ziyad Yagi. That is Z-I-Y-A-D as in David, and then Yagi, Y as in yellow, A-G as in good, H-I. And also I'm on Facebook under Layla Yagi, L-A-I-L-A-Y-A-G-H-I. And then also we have a website, www.freeziyadyagi.info. And we update all of this all the time.
So every day let me ask you something, and I know the answer, but I wanted to hear it from you. Tell me about the people there in North Carolina when, you know, the Muslim people there, did they come to help you or did they run away from you?
Everybody ran away from me, actually. I mean, I was very active in my community. I used to always volunteer, and but after this happened, like, people used to always call me because I'm bilingual, to go and translate and take them places, to schools and stuff like that. But after this happened, my phone stopped ringing completely.
Okay. Very good. Layla, stay with us. We will be right back.